Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 12, Working with Parents, Part 3. I have said that I'm going to be talking about the way in which the students come back into our consideration when we're talking still further about working with parents. And here's another thing that I carried out, not just a piece of advice given randomly, but something that I did, and something that has worked some real wonders in schools where a new teacher took up a very difficult social situation, or where an older teacher with few social skills created a poor social situation, and where the parents then asked how they could possibly redeem this and transform it a little bit. So this may sound, again, a little bit strange. I mentioned in the previous lecture that when it comes to things like parties, you know, your hands are tied. That's not your domain. You can't visit every party going on over the weekend and give a pedagogical judgment. But now I'm going to present something that's sort of the other side of that, that actually you can have an effect on the children's parties. And this is what I would urge you to do. That in 7th and 8th grade, that you encourage the parents every month. It might be at somebody's birthday, but it doesn't have to be that at all. Every month, the parents have a party with one another, and the children are invited to that. Now, before you shake your head in disbelief, let me go further. You'll disbelieve still more. You have to find a house where there is definitely a separation in the spaces where the children's party and the parents' party takes place. On the East Coast, where my school was based, that's easy enough. Parents had big homes, finished basements. I know that in many Western areas, houses don't have basements at all. Maybe one party's going on outside, one's going on inside. I'm sure parents can be resourceful. Rent a tent or something like that, so that there are two parties going on in the house. The parents are having one in which you hope they are enjoying each other's presence and meeting each other socially and so on. And the children are having another one. And now and then, a parent goes downstairs to the rec room or goes outside or wherever the students' party is going on and looks in on them. So it's very, very lightweight, soft touch chaperoning. And it's not necessarily even that the parent whose home it is responsible for how the children's party is conducted. That maybe five parents decide, okay, through the course of the evening, you know, we'll sort of check in and order in a very casual way. Now, apart from all of the other odd things about this suggestion, you may be thinking the most obvious one, but you have said, and everybody says, it's kind of, you know, doctrine that adolescents hate to be with their parents, especially when they're with other adolescents. That's where they want to be. They don't want their parents within miles of them. Yes, absolutely true, and no, because once again, this is a very awkward age in terms of socializing. You know, have your first dance and you'll see for yourself how long it takes for one boy to ask a girl to dance, how long it takes for, you know, any of the boys to go on the dance floor, even to dance with one another or just to stand there and dance themselves. And the girls are just, you know, looking at these oafs and so on and wondering what to do with them. It's really, really awkward. Your heart goes out to them, and you just want to help them take that first step. So they are really looking to see, how do adults hold a party? What's that like? In other words, they're going to be coming up the stairs as well. They're going to be looking in on the parents and seeing what's going on. It's actually a very wonderful thing. And it might be that one or another of the parents thinks some activity that in the middle or towards the end of the party, they do something with the kids. We had, you know, sparkler celebration and fireworks. Yes, the police did come, actually, to one of our parties. I forget if it was the illegal fireworks or if it was the noise level or whatever. We all had a great time. But nonetheless, this can be a very powerful experience. The children feel safe. And this is the other aspect, even if you don't go this far, but it's the other aspect of the parent conversations that are going on without you. The kids know that the parents are on the same page. And when they go to a party, and when maybe somebody's found some booze in, you know, somewhere or other and wants to share it, or a cigarette is proffered, or whatever, spin the bottle, and they feel uncomfortable about that, they can withdraw, they can pull away and not feel peer pressure, because either the parents are around in a party 10 feet away, or because the parents have a kind of invisible safety net. And they are making sure that the parties are chaperoned, that they're supervised, that there's good judgment there. So either way, and ideally you would do both, have the parent group and also have the parents do these monthly parties. If monthly is too much, then every other month or every third month. Even if you just do two a year, one in each term, that already is a tremendous gift to the children, to their parents as well. And you will see that in reality, yes, adolescents want to get away from their parents. On the other hand, because everything that an adolescent does or says, the polar opposite is equally true. This is part of our sort of moral technique in working with adolescents. Polarization is a never-ending dynamic in their nature. The astral body brings that. So the more they want to pull away from their parents, the more they also want to be brought back into a relationship with their parents. And these parallel parties allow the children to do that without, you know, the social onus of, oh, your parents are so protective, or, yeah, my parents are always bugging me. I can't do anything by myself. Here, they're totally by themselves, and yet they're totally with their parents. Please remember, seventh graders, on the average, are 13 years old. 13 years is a lot closer to age 7 than it is to age 21. It's 8 years away from age 21, and it's only 6 years away from age 7. And I say that not just to be coy about it all, but it's a reality. They are still so much closer to being young children. And there are times when the astral body pulls away, and you see again the very young child. And it's not that you want that to dominate, but it's important to recognize it is still there, it's still an active force. And this is one of the great strengths that Waldorf schools have. You have these assemblies. You want the adolescents to be watching the second graders play recorder and the fourth graders doing their Norse myths play, that sort of thing, because the children really need that. They really crave that, to remember that once upon a time they were like that, and so it is with their connection with their parents. It's a very important matter. Another area in which parents can be of great help is with the class play. So this year, even if you haven't done it before, you will want to hold rehearsals after school, also weekends. And during the weekend times, ask parents to come in and help with sets, help with costumes, help you with rehearsals as well. You can, you know, let a parent watch you rehearsing a scene once or twice, and then they can go and work with the performers themselves, making sure they're memorizing their lines and are getting the staging correct. So this is important, of course, if you are going to do this, and if your school is one in which you're even allowed to ask parents to come after school or weekends. That can be challenging in a public school. But give the parents plenty of notice. And I would say this is a sine qua non of grades 7 and 8, that in August, not only do you have your whole curriculum laid out for the parents and for specialist teachers to see, but no less importantly, you let the parents know when the class play will occur, when the class trip is going to occur. If you have any museum trips or other field trips planned during the year, let them know well in advance and try not to change things. One of the most frustrating things that parents all over the country complain about, at least they complain to me about it, is the incredible disorganization of the school schedule and the terrible communication of the original schedule as well as any changes that are going to occur. You will get more parents involved and more parents active if they can set aside the time weeks or even months in advance and trust you that that's going to happen. Now, of course, you can't do this yourself. You have to be sure that the sixth grade teacher, the eighth grade teacher are on the same page and you're working together, especially where you may share a common space, such as for a class play, or where you may need vehicles or the school's bus to go on a field trip. You know, such things, the upper grades teachers really have to be working together and coordinating things so that it's possible for events to be scheduled and for them to be dependably in place when that time comes.